Broadcasted live. Catch the broadcast on kaya959.co.za.
I encourage you to continue to give us your thoughts. WhatsApp line is 0636880959 or tag us at Kaya on air using the hashtag KayaBiz. The question that was asked was, would you want to know how much the highest and lowest paid employees in your company get paid? Gwanele, thank you so much for joining us right here on KayaBiz. Good evening. Gwanele Ngokela is the Senior Inequality Analyst at Just Share. How are you?
I am doing great. Good evening to you, Rafilwe, and good evening to your viewers at home.
First thing I want to ask you, Gwanele, is what prompted Just Share to look into specifically the retail and wholesale sector in South Africa with respect to executive pay ratios?
Great question, Rafilwe. Number one, the listeners at home will know that South Africa is not only one of the most unequal countries in the world. What is more concerning is that the country's inequality is racialized, and it is also profoundly so. As you would know, then inequality does not only erode social cohesion, it leads to political polarization, and it distorts economic growth. Now, if you want to understand, Rafilwe, the prevailing and obscene inequality in South Africa, or by the low social and economic mobility in South Africa, you need to understand the labor market dynamics and labor market outcomes. So that will be very important. Now, the wholesale and retail sector is important for various reasons to answer your question directly. The sector is the second largest employer in our country after government, because around 17% of our total workforce. The sector, we have to acknowledge that it makes substantial contribution to GDP and holds considerable importance in the daily lives of South Africans. But the bigger problem is that the sector has covered what we call a sectoral determination. Now, basically, this sectoral determination are a set of employment conditions, for instance, or working hours, including minimum wage requirements that are aimed at protecting vulnerable workers in the sector. Now, we argue that this makes this sector a very important focal point if you want to address the pervasive labor market in South Africa. So it's one of the reasons that prompted this analysis to look at the prevailing pay gap.
Yes.
But also to look at racial and gender representation within management levels and at board level.
Correct. I mean, I think the important thing that you just raised about the inequality there is, unfortunately, due to our history and many things around the world, actually, pay inequality, wealth inequality continues to be, or at least economic circumstance continues to be charted along gender and racial lines. And that's why it is important to continue to pay attention to these things. So just for a little bit of detail on the, now that we know the reasoning, let's talk a little bit about the study itself. You looked at these 10 retail and wholesale companies: Woolworths, Shoprite, Mr. Price, Truworths, Fashini Group, Spar Group, Clicks, Dis-Chem, and Pick and Pay. And I think what's important about this, and what I love about this study, these are all groups that at least the listeners and workers in general have a tangible experience of on a daily basis, and can actually assess for themselves without having to be a financial analyst whether or not you really think you're getting 122 million rands worth of of CEO-ness when you walk into a store. Let's talk a little bit about the gaps in those companies. Let's talk about the 600 times earning on average. The worst here being Woolworths.
Maybe to foreground that, overall, in terms of these income gaps, Rafilwe, so what we are saying there is that on average, a CEO in these companies will earn 597 times more than the lowest paid worker. So the lowest paid worker, just to give a listener at home context, they are earning 27 rands, 58 cents per hour, right? Woolworths is having like a higher internal minimum wage compared to that. But on average, those workers who are earning the minimum wage within the sector will take around 59,483 per year. That's just below 60,000 per annum. Now, this is also problematic because we are assuming that they are working 45 hours per week and 52 weeks per annum. And we know for sure that nobody works 45 hours per week for the entire 52 weeks per year. Now, if you compare that 59,000 or so with the highest paid CEO salary of over 122 million per annum, that's how you think the prevailing picture of the injustice that we are actually talking about. But more concerning, if you're looking, of course, if you compare the biggest gap there, the Woolworths CEO in the reporting year took 1,308 times or more than the lowest paid worker, and we estimate that our salary to be around 93%, but 93,600, as I've outlined how it got to that now.
Gwanele, I think most people who would push back would say, look, Roy Bagattini, the CEO, he's not South African. We had to make a dollarized pay. We had to attract him with long-term bonuses. He had to turn around the company from the devastation of Ray Moore. Ian Moore, I've now messed up names. But, you know, could we not see that as justifiable?
No. We have to rely on the King Code, which is, you know, companies use the King Code, as you would know, which sets good practices, governance. And the King Code is saying the salary, executive salary, should be fair and responsible within the overall context of overall employee compensation. It's all good to say that Roy has turned the company around. It's a matter of debate. If you're looking at the performance of David Jones and Kandra Rhodes in the previous year, David Jones that they recently
Had to dispose of, yeah.
But anyway...
But that was a different CEO. I mean, let's be fair, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. But if you can say that turnaround is due to him as a one man, all good and well, what about the rest of the people who wake up that we see bracing the cold in the morning, going to the stores, coming back late, who are part of this turnaround success? Is it justifiable that it earned relatively so little compared to that CEO? And we know, I mean, logically, those who are in management will earn significantly more than the lowest paid workers. Yeah, we are saying if this company is successful, what their workers, is it also justifiable? I think that's the litmus test.
Sure. And I think it also is what it suggests, obviously, 122 million, 1,308 times the lowest paid worker is, yeah, that an entire listed group can be turned around by one person and one, I suppose, statement of strategy, and maybe undermines what's even happening at middle management, at senior management, who might not be even earning that much. Another turnaround story that was under your study, which I think is quite interesting, Pick n Pay recently re-engaged former and now current CEO Sean Summers to address a massive turnaround story in quite a bit of a crisis. And this is the best ratio amongst CEOs between them and the internal minimum wage of 155 times. This comes in below the United States average and more or less closer to the Nordic averages as well, at a salary of 10 million rand. So you've got the difference between which I think is a perfectly lovely pay package, even in dollar terms. So, you know, when we look from one CEO to the next, 122 million rand, 10 million rand, you know, 120 times, or 12 times, what is your thought there?
Yeah, let's quickly clarify the Pick n Pay story. As you correctly outlined, that Sean Summers, who was the CEO, replaced Peter Boone, right, around 30 September 2023. Now, the point that in this study is that the salary is made up of three components, largely what we'll call total guaranteed pay, short-term incentives, and the long-term incentives. Now, because Sean Summers took over around 30 September, he did not get the LTIs, which is the long-term incentives. That's why he got around 10 million rands worth of total guaranteed pay. Do you understand? So we are footnoting that and ensuring that we do explain that he didn't get bonuses. Now, bonuses make up a significant portion of the CEO salaries.
Correct.
Up until around 60% or so. Yeah.
Gwanele, I guess then my next question is, so now I've got a bit of a comparable amongst CEOs, and I've got a bit of a sense. With the Companies Amendment Act coming into play, what is the intention of this study? To hold them accountable, to bring them to report, to bring down the level? Are you lobbying, for example, with government to put in a specific ratio that corporations cannot go over in terms of the ratio between total remuneration for CEO versus minimum wage?
Okay, great. That's a good question, Rafilo. So the Companies Amendment Act, what it essentially does, as well to remember that previously, before it was amended, you as a listed company or a public entity, you were required to disclose the remuneration which is received by each director or a prescribed officer in the company, you know, from CEO, those who are in the C-suite level and other prescribed officers.
Yes.
Who earn significantly more. Now, what was apparent was that what the issue of inequality, it still prevails, was banded to achieve P2P directors, which is management in these companies, and workers. Now, what it says, when it does not come to force, yes, yet it will require that companies not only disclose the salaries of the highest paid, but also the salary of the lowest paid workers. But it will also help us to also know the average total remuneration of all employees within a company. So that provides like an objective measure to compare, but
yes,
also a median remuneration of all employees, but also now the companies will be able to determine the remuneration gap reflecting the ratio between the total remuneration of the top 5%. So this is the top highest pay 5% in a company vis-a-vis the bottom 5%. Percent lowest paid employees. So they will determine and report that gap. But we are saying this is not enough, Rafilwe, because this is a missed opportunity. If you are looking across the world, the prevalent conversations debate, it's about the gender pay gap, because
yes,
disparities do not only manifest themselves between the highest paid and the lowest paid, but the horizontal pay gaps between men and women, maybe
absolutely
white people, you know. So at least the Companies Amendment Bill takes us to that level of transparency, but omits the gender pay gaps, which is unfortunate.
Well, we do have the Employment Equity Bill, and hopefully these two will come to meet at some point. Let's move to that part of your study. You specifically looked at the targets and the current, I suppose, achievements of these 10 listed companies, both retail and wholesale, specifically of African, coloured and Indian representation at board level and gender representation at board level. And I imagine, it's difficult to have a read on employees themselves, particularly if you've predominantly got African, coloured and Indian people at the bottom end of the earning scale. But let's talk about board level. The targets are not very ambitious, are they?
Not at all. With the exception of clicks in terms of targets, because they are targeting to have 50% representation of the previously marginalized groups. That's how, you know, they usually referred to black people,
yes,
or the ACI for African, colored, and Indian. But let's make this clear, maybe for the benefit of the viewer at home, that the idea of having targets is the JSE listing requirements. Now, for you to list at the JSE, the requirements mandates that listed companies should adopt policies to promote gender and race diversity at board level. It will then say, where applicable, companies should set numerical targets, you know, for instance, in this period of time, we aim to have maybe 50% representation in terms of gender at board level, or we are trying to achieve maybe equitable representation, or at least to see a racial diversity. Is the JSE listing requirements which wants or which mandates that, but also right, the King Code, which was also co-opted to the listing requirements, actually requires that. So in our analysis, we then said, okay, these are listed retailers. What are their targets for at board level in terms of the racial targets, but also female board representation targets? All this information comes from their reports. So a company will say, we aim to have maybe 50%. For instance, if you're looking at Clicks, they're aiming to have 33% female representation at board level, and the current representation is 40%. But we're also having a problem, as just shared, because we analyze a lot of these reports, especially for listed companies.
Yes.
What you see, companies setting these targets, they set targets that they've already, not ambitious or stretching targets, you know. So you look, okay, we're already having 40% representation, let's set it at 35, such that we can tick the box that we've not the target.
Oh, I see what you're saying. Okay. So what is, yeah, I mean, it's interesting to me. There are a lot of these groups. Fashini Group is near the bottom, 21% female representation at board in particular. Truworths, 33%. These are groups that are, you know, predominantly women's clothing groups. It's interesting to me. It's quite quizzical how little the women's perspective seems to matter. I know it's not just at board level, but and that this just represents board level. Perhaps at management it looks a little bit better.
Nope, it was. But let's also highlight this again for the benefit of the viewer at home.
Please.
That if you are looking at our labor market participation, right, a woman make up 46% of our total labor force. If we are looking at women who are employed and those who are looking in the labor, still for employment, but the total, they constitute 46% of what we would refer to as economically active population. So that's almost half of our workforce. Now, when you look at this sector, women in most of these companies constitute more than 60% of the workforce in these companies. But the problem now is that they will be at the unskilled, semi-skilled level. When we start looking at executive levels, this is what our study looks at in terms of their representation at top and senior management. What we'll find out then, it's quite chilling. What we'll find there is quite disappointing, let me put it that way, because some companies won't even disclose the representation of black people in their top management. Those who disclose, because you are required by law, basically, by the way, to disclose this data.
Yes.
A company like Discam, for instance, you would have been familiar with the scandal, you know, the leaked letter about hiring where they said they need to improve diversity. Mm. There was zero black person on top management. I would imagine that black people, as a majority in this country, will be, and I would think, a majority customers of these companies.
But correct, on numbers alone, yeah.
There are no representation of black people This is after 3 decades of democracy in this country. But again, when we are reading the reports of this company, they would say they are committed to transformation, but the numbers are saying otherwise.
It's studies like this from Just Share that definitely hold these companies accountable. And we appreciate the research that you've done here, Gonele, and all of you at Just Share. Gonele Ngogela is a senior inequality analyst at Just Share. Continue to let us know your perspectives on this particular topic. Would you like to, if it were possible, know how much the highest and lowest paid employees in your company get paid? More responses from you on not only X, but also on Facebook. Bonga, Jack responds to Bonga, I work in a higher position and salaries have caused huge conflicts amongst employees. If they know what you're earning, that you're earning higher, then you'll be expected to do most of the work. You'll be criticized even when you are off, or even criticized for working extra hours to finish your job. It's not healthy. And then Deboho says, because really some people are getting paid for doing nothing while you're working your ass off. Well, you continue to let us know at Kaya on Air and hashtag Kaya Biz, or send me a WhatsApp on 063-688-0959. Given the opportunity, would you like to know your colleagues' salaries, particularly the highest and lowest earning? I just said this morning on Seize the World, I don't know how you earn 300 million, 100 million, it's in the paper, and then you look at your team with a straight face and you're like, no increases this year. No Pizza Friday. We don't have the budget. No, sorry, we're not paying you back for your phone bill. How do you do that? How do you keep morale up?
If you missed it live, catch the podcast on kaya959.co.za.